Who's Afraid of Megan? AI, Surveillance Horror, and the Home by Oluwatayo Adewole. Read by Chris Macari. Looking at the 2022 horror comedy Megan, Oluwatayo Adewole thinks about the implications of critiquing AI and surveillance technology through idealized fantasies of the family and the home. This section is accompanied by a shot from Megan. A woman, a girl, and a life-size doll sit around a dinner table in a modern home having a conversation. You think you've private lives. Think nothing of the kind. There is no true escape. I'm watching all the time. Electric Eye, Judas Priest, 1982. Judas Priest's Electric Eye is a four-decade-old example of a thread ever-present in art with tech in mind. Surveillance technology and the implications that it has for society. The song's eponymous eye finds its origins further back, in George Orwell's 1949 book, 1984. Both works reflecting on the real-world terror of abuse by the surveillance state. Prominent in speculative art responding to the overbearing nationalism of World War II and the Cold War, the power of the secret observer became a horror staple too. Many horror films, from Peeping Tom to the Saw series, are also built on the threat from malicious observation. Today, there's a focus in the genre on the looming, complicated issue of AI and digital surveillance. Part of what makes the scope for that horror so potent is the lack of a cogent definition for what actually counts as AI, beyond fairly loose ideas around machine learning and as a marketing label for tech companies. Surveillance is fundamental to how the current popular conception of AI as output tool works. To be able to perform functions like producing art or answering questions, an AI must also be able to scrape through tremendous amounts of data while generating its processes and responses. The sheer amount of data required to run current technologies has meant a field relying on data collected unethically. As such, there has been a lot of scraping of information from people who have given limited consent, and who almost certainly haven't given explicit consent to the end use of that data. This shift to technology reliant on the constant collection and processing of information about our lives begins to form a panopticon, a prison-like social structure where everyone is observed and observable at all times. Part 2. Megan meets the family. This section is accompanied by a shot from Megan. A sad girl looks round to see a life-size doll in a red archway in a white room full of toys. These anxieties come together very clearly in Megan, 2022's horror comedy about the creator of a murderous AI-powered toy and the little girl left in her protection. Now, this isn't an Ex Machina or 2001 A Space Odyssey, where the approach to the threat of AI is largely austere. Instead, Megan plays with these fears through camp, with a kid-sized kitsch doll who may sing you to sleep with Sears titanium or murder you while performing TikTok dances. Much like its schlocky, horror, evil doll predecessor Chucky, however, that camp horror deliberately addresses contemporary cultural anxieties, in this case being about the role of surveillance AI in our lives. The family and its disruption are at the center of that story, the focus narrowed in on the concerns of rich and predominantly white families. Katie, Violet McGraw, the little girl at the center of the film, loses her parents on a skiing trip and is left with Gemma, Alison Williams, the tech whiz aunt who seems burdened by her care. She ends up leaving that instead to a prototype of the Megan units she is feverishly designing, a doll which would go for around $100,000 to any family wanting to purchase one. In the details, we can then specifically see how the origin of the story being told in Megan is in the solidifying of the isolated Thatcher-slash-Reaganite nuclear family unit and the persistent lack of community support in moneyed white families. The Megan doll is advertised as being part of the family, while operating in service of them, paralleling the reality that the vision of the perfect, white and rich nuclear family as an isolated, self-sufficient unit has only ever been possible with the use of exploitative labor. Through technology, the labor of care can once again be offset by money. While Gemma's lesson as Megan's creator and Katie's carer may well be that it isn't ideal to exist in that kind of hierarchy, that is a lesson most people know but are powerless to act on. These labor issues are essential to Western horror movies involving AI and robots in general, going back almost a century to 1927's Metropolis. The devices at the heart of these stories became a cipher for the fears that the constant cheap labor required to work the capitalist system will turn on its masters, and nowhere is that more personally threatening than in the domestic sphere. Part 3. The call coming from inside the home. This section is accompanied by a shot from Megan. A life-size doll stands on the porch of a modern suburban American home in a leafy area. Another key source of this terror is in the privacy of the home being violated. Again, in Megan, this is deliberately viewed via a privileged lens. The central house and the surrounding community feels sterile, embodying the pallid minimalism associated with the houses of the wealthy. Everything is pristine, but none of it feels especially lived in, as Gemma's repeatedly mocked wall of collectibles signifies. The combination of harsh lighting and washed-out color grading help make the place feel more showroom than home. Then, with a doll who can see and record everything, the privacy of this already fraught space is broken entirely. A crucial point is that there is no dangerous outsider that causes the home to be destroyed. It is actually the need for security and certainty that Megan fulfills through surveillance which does it. Every one of Megan's kills is reliant on her free rein to observe, listen, and learn in unfettered ways, and a desire to overbearingly protect Katie. On top of that, her ability to monitor micro-expressions on the human face makes her difficult to deceive or subvert. She is the Terminator, brought in from the cold, a threat already imagined in Philip K. Dick's 1953 story, Second Variety, that of the emotionally adept, childlike robot killer. However, while for two generations of American tech terror, the appearance of humanity was often a cover for the motives of hidden threats attempting to destroy the safety of the home, Megan is a product designed to protect it. That primacy of security is what motivates people in purchasing Amazon rings and various suites of observing and listening items, turning the home into a data mine of their own making. These tools, combined with apps like Nextdoor, making their money from reinforcing the cultural lean towards securitization, often become places where undesirables can be monitored and policed. Such individual and corporate observation interlocks with the state. In the US, police and fire departments have over 2,000 partnerships with Amazon regarding these devices. Given what we know about the emergent police use of facial recognition and their large, ethically and legally dubious databases which have been linked to wrongful police killings, the interweaving of all this data is extremely dangerous for the most criminalized populations. The functioning of the panopticon requires the convenient ways such surveillance resolves ideological fears. It cannot just be a decree from on high enforced with guns and batons. It's also something that is reinforced on an interpersonal level by regular people. Part 4. Watched by the Watcher. This section is accompanied by a shot from Megan. A happy girl and a life-size doll play a thumb war outside. Yet the panopticon's functioning is not just the result of our societal security obsession. That obsession itself is linked to the corporate fixation on data. Devices for convenience and enjoyment, like Alexa or the Google Nest, are known to have been watched and misused without people realizing. For Megan, the data which was used to construct the basics of her functioning comes from a previous toy line, Perpetual Pets, secretly recording its interactions with children. Look to another high-profile piece of speculative fiction, like 2017's Blade Runner 2049, and you see this theme well established. Riffing on the original film's relationship between humans and hunted replicants, In 2017's Blade Runner 2049, the means of tracking down Ryan Gosling's replicant Detective K becomes his in-home AI device Joy, Ana de Armas, which provides both domestic labor and implied sexual pleasure. That idealized commercial object of sexual desire, of completion in the heterosexual home, becomes the means by which the lead is surveilled, that limited joy poisoned. It is important to note the specific limits of these anxieties as they relate to Megan. Family structures outside of white Western ones have always been under attack. The home has never been a safe space for the working class, whose housing is insecure, or the marginalized communities repeatedly harassed by the police and their raids. Childhood has never been safe or sacred for the frequently adultified children of color, or those forced into money-making from a young age. The violence caused by Megan for Gemma and Katie is the everyday functioning of the world for many already. Another factor in this is the way in which Megan itself and its success relied on social media marketing campaigns aimed at young people, powered by corporate data collection. Fundamentally, AI is a tool, just as horror is, and tools always engage with the politics of the society in which they are constructed and used. While Megan satirizes the companies and culture that urge us towards technological surveillance, the part of that fear it focuses in on is the potential for malicious outcomes from AI to hit and morally affect those who are shielded from the real intrusions already happening.